On today's episode, we're going to continue on our journey on the Disney Wish with Jordan for part two of his trip recap. This is episode 113 of the Off the Monorails podcast. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. We are back once again. This is the Off the Monorails podcast. I am your good friend, Ryan, along with my two good friends, Justin and Jordan. Fellas, how are we this splendid evening?
Woo! Doing great.
Salutations.
It's a good day. It's a good day to be alive.
It is. Ready to get back into this thing.
Yeah. We're going to kind of do things a little differently this episode. We are going to basically cut the crap, and we're going to get straight to it. We're going to get all of our formalities out of the way. And we got a lot to unpack still, continuing on Jordan's first day that we listened to last week. We are now going to take on day two and maybe some of day three and figure out all the festivities and all the tips and tricks he figured out, and maybe some nuances that we can take ourselves on any trips we take in the future. So before we get started, just want to say, be sure you're following us on all of our socials. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, YouTube, TikTok, you name it, we're there. We've got stuff all over the place. We are going to start flexing our muscles with some long-form content. Some of that stuff is in process right now, and that's why we need you to follow along and subscribe and just pay attention, because we will have some new stuff dropping very soon. And we want that ready for all of you guys' consumption. And we would love to hear any feedback we can get from you. And we're going to just keep rolling this thing along and take it trip by trip and day by day. So, we're not going to have a coffee break. We're actually having a beer right now. It's not coffee time. So cheers fellas. But let's continue this conversation where we left off. We had to put a pin in it last time. We ran a little over on time, so let's get into it nice and quick. So Jordan, the mic's all yours, buddy.
All right, no pressure. Thank you. So where we left off, we ended our first night on the Disney Wish, and again, this is our very first time, our very first experience, not only on the Disney Wish, Disney's newest cruise ship, before the Treasure makes its maiden voyage later this year in December. But this is also our very first experience with Disney Cruise Lines. So this was a very big deal, very big trip, lots of planning, lots of preparation, lots of detailed work went into the anticipation of this trip, a lot of research. And, you know, what I wanted to do, what my goal was to bring back to everyone here, was to answer some of the questions that we still had, that I still had when I was doing my research, preparing for this trip. So not only is this meant to hopefully entertain, but also educate, and hope that you can take some of this and apply it to your next cruise on the Disney Wish. So starting with day two, again, this is a three-night sailing itinerary. So day two has a stopping in Nassau, Bahamas, which I will give kudos to Nassau. The port has never looked better. It's been historically ravished with storm after storm. The straw market and everything had been, you know, rebuilt number of times. As you guys know, you've been there. We've been there together, and you know, it was always kind of ever changing, ever, you know, developing. But now I'll say, guys, the port itself, as we pulled in, I could see everything dressed up. They've done a lot of improvements there, lots of new structures, looks like pretty permanent structures now that wouldn't be, you know, susceptible to the storms that come through there with the hurricanes and whatnot. and looked much more formidable and more presentable, if you would. So that was nice to see. But spoiler alert, we never got off the ship. We never stepped foot off of the ship. We treated this day in while we were at port in Nassau as basically like a day at sea, a day to explore the ship, a day to kind of get a more understanding of what it had to offer to us. The only caveat to that is there's a lot of things that are closed aboard the ship when you're at port. So stores you can't go into while you're at port. That's limiting, right? And that's for all cruise lines. It's not just for Disney, not for this ship. That's for all cruise lines. So something that I guess I didn't notice when we were younger going on cruises all the time. But yeah, the stores and some other things are not open while you're at port due to customs and regulations and that sort of thing. So that did limit us a little bit. I would say that I would have enjoyed a true day at sea on this ship because of that factor of just having more accessibility to more things. But we did make the most of it by starting off with room service breakfast, which is something that you can do on Disney cruises. If you don't know, room service aboard Disney cruises is free. So There's a little, they leave, of course, they have a room service menu and in your stateroom, but you're also given these little placards that you can place along, your door handle outside your door. And as long as you have, and on this little placard is a menu on the back, and it basically allows for continental breakfast items to be delivered to your stateroom. You select the items, you select the time of delivery. Believe is starting as early as about 5 or 5:30 a.m. that you could have items delivered, and they will deliver all the way up till, well, pretty much through midnight. So you could get anything like that, but for this purpose, you have to have this placard out on your door handle before 3 a.m. So that they can bring you your meal at the stated time. So we did that. We put it out there right before we were going to bed. And we got some things like croissants and some danishes and coffee, of course, juices, milks, that sort of thing. You just kind of a standard continental style breakfast spread. Just leave the room service some tip when they deliver, and you can basically wake up to a nice little snack and some fresh coffee to start your day off, which was fantastic, by the way, when you can just be right there in your stateroom, have all this fresh, little breakfast items, fresh carafe of coffee, and you just take it out right there to your balcony, to your veranda, and just sit there and just as you are cruising along the water, making your way to port. It was so nice just to be able to sit out there and feel that cool breeze coming off the water, knowing that about 30 minutes to an hour, you'll find yourself docked at Nassau. And it was just beautiful. I wish this was the only time we did this in the mornings. And I wish we would have done it every morning because it was just a great way to start the day. Spoiler, we did get ready after this and then head upstairs for a second breakfast. So
of course,
when in Rome or in Nassau or on a ship, it's all included. So we made our way up to Marceline Market, which again is that buffet style restaurant there on the aft of the ship. And it just, man, it has so much to offer, especially the breakfast time, with the hash browns and you made to order omelets and just everything you could really imagine just for breakfast, you've pretty much have it at your fingertips. And again, just the ability to try different things and still have a service component to it. And that place is just littered with great theming, some nice, just elegant theming. And to be there along the windows, you could sit outside as well. They have some outside seating there. But just as we were pulling into port, we were eating breakfast. So it was just nice to be able to kind of sit there and watch as we pulled in to the docks. But after we had a nice little second breakfast at Marceline Market, we decided to take the kids down to the Oceaneers Club. And this is the kids club on board the ship. This will go all the way up to, I believe, 12 years old, where then they have other clubs for the teenager, the preteens and the teenagers on board as well. I believe it's called The Vibe, and I forget the other one. But those are for the older kids. So the Oceaneer Club basically ranges from 3 to 10, 11 years old. And so that's where our kids went. They get checked in. Now, when you check in for the ship, before you even go to the, through the terminal, through security, they, you know, they basically verify that your kid's going to be in, going to Oceaneer Club, that they're registered. When we had to check in 30 days before our cruise departure, we had to elect if our, you know, if our kids were going to be going to Kids Club, or at least just to be registered for it. So make sure you do that whenever you're at your 30-day mark, checking in for your cruise. But when we got there, right, at registration, they gave us a magic band for our youngest. And then they hold on to that magic band through the duration of your cruise. If you lose it, it's $13. But it is a nice little Disney Cruise Line kind of magic band 2.0 that they're wearing. And that just allows them to track them throughout the Oceaneers Club. But it was a great process. This is the first time our kids had done anything like this, as far as being, you know, put into kind of a club atmosphere that take them away from you sort of thing. And it was really good. It was, I mean, very detailed, very secure. They don't allow any filming in the area. So it's very, I mean, it feels very safe, and you feel like the cast members there in that specific area have the best interest for your kids at heart. And again, I was jealous. We got to tour this area on embarkation day, the day before. They have an open house when you first get on the ship, and you're talking about stepping foot into an area themed like that looked like Galaxy's Edge. I mean, pulled straight out of Galaxy's Edge for the Star Wars area. You had a Marvel like superhero like training academy area where they have a bunch of virtual things. They can build their own virtual super suits and do these training combat drills and things like that. They've got like an Imagineering studio with a lot of props and things, and doing, you know, drawings and things like that, from kind of get their, you know, pseudo Imagineer hat on. They've got some things from like the princesses and like the library and thing for like for Belle. They've just got some really great. I mean, if I was a kid, I would be jumping at the opportunity to be in this place. That's so, Ryan, whenever you go, I'm sure your girls will be, you won't be able to get them out of there.
That's what I've heard from many people.
Yeah, it was just, it was great. I mean, it really was super interactive. They do a lot of exclusive meet and greets in there as well. So, you know, if your little ones are fans of a lot of characters, they get to do that as well. I know that morning for in the Marvel area, Black Panther came over there for a meet and greet. They had Chewbacca and Rey show up a little bit later, but it was just nice. It was nice for us to, you know, me and my wife drop them off, and you know, you get a message whenever your child's ready to be picked up. And, you know, if they say that they want to be picked up, you'll get alerted on your phone through the Disney Navigator app. But yeah, and so it allowed me and my wife to you know, step away and go check out some things, especially in the adults section. There's a restricted area there for just adults, so that's the first place we went. Up on deck 13 is a nice lookout place, a great lounge area. They have a bar back there. It wasn't open yet. It was still early in the morning, about 9:30 or so. But being able to be over there, there's private pools that right off of the back of the ship there. And so we just sat there enjoying the view. I mean, we could see, it was clear view of Atlantis and that island, and just all of, you know, basically you see and watching all the yachts flow by and around the port in Nassau. Is just super relaxing, beautiful weather, that nice cool breeze coming off of the water. And we slipped on over. Right next door to that is the Quiet Cove Cafe. And Ryan, this is something I highly recommend for you when you're on this ship. Make time to go over to the Quiet Cove Cafe or to the Cove Cafe because they have specialty drinks, specialty coffees there. They have alcohol infused coffee drinks. You get a nice espresso martini over here. You get a bunch of different things, but do lattes for you. They'll do affogatos and all kinds of things. So make sure you go over to the Cove Cafe because it was just tranquil. And they give you you can get a punch card. So you can get this coffee punch card. And if you get, after you get so many punches, after you buy so many drinks, then you can cash it in for a free one. So make sure you get that too. But just a great place, a great way to escape and lounge and hang out. Super quiet, super chill. And that's something I would also say too, is like, if you're going to go into these areas, be respectful of people in those areas as well. That's what they're there to do. They're there to be, to relax away from everything else, away from the, I'm going to call it the chaos, away from all the other activities happening. It's a quiet place. It's a reserved place. Just, be respectful in that area. But yeah, it was great just to hang out and just be there, and not have to worry about, kids for one. It was the first moment in the last 48 hours that we had the ability to just kind of, that exhale, that we don't have to worry about anything right now. Literally just sit here and enjoy the company, enjoy the time with each other, the weather, where we are. We're in the Bahamas, right? We're in paradise. It's
the kids are fine. They're having fun.
Exactly. They're having,
just don't guilt yourself.
Exactly.
They're having a great time.
Exactly. And that was one thing too, is like you're in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, what are we going to do? We do something next, right? Like I know we're going to get that text message saying the kids are ready to be picked up, right? Like I know, just wait on that alert. And, it's like, I try to push that aside. I try to push that away. I'm like, hey, they're good. Let us have this time to enjoy, right? A little bit about like how we talked about in the last episode, you've got to be able to allow yourself to enjoy the moment and enjoy the time.
Yep.
So we did, and it was really great. We noticed that as we were started to walk around more of the deck there, around the pool deck area, we noticed that the Aqua Mouse, which is the featured slide on the ship, there's actually a couple of slides on this ship. One is the Splashosaurus Rex or Partysaurus Rex, something like that. It's a Rex themed slide for the kids only. But then the Aqua Mouse is this new idea, and you guys have seen the documentary, so you've seen the making of the Wish and know a little bit about the Aqua Mouse, is that it's the first water attraction on Disney Cruise Lines. So it's a little different than the Aqua Duck that you can find on a couple of the Disney ships, where it actually has this interactive, it looks like you're on a ride at a theme park, right? It looks like you're going through basically like Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railway, but on a water slide. And it has, so you get on this raft and you have this lift component to it that, you kind of watch this show as it's happening on these screens as you go up the lift in this tunnel, in this tube for the slide. And then you are dumped out and then go through the clear tunnels of the slide all the way wrapping around the entirety of the pool deck. It's really, really cool. But we noticed that the wait time was pretty short. It was 20 minutes. And we've heard reports of this thing being an hour plus wait time. So we decided, hey, let's go get our swimsuits. Let's go get on this thing. And so that's what we did. We got there, and it was probably right at 15, 20 minutes that we ended up waiting and got on board. Let me tell you, this was so good. I get the hype. I get why people have said great things about it. I get why it can often have a long wait time. It is superb. It was faster than I thought it was going to be. It was more thrilling and exciting and fun than I thought it was going to be. It has more repeatability than I thought it was going to be. I wanted to write it more, but so it was great. So Ryan, I know you're going soon. The days are getting closer and closer. I highly, highly, highly recommend this. And if you can, multiple times. You're going to love it. The kids are going to love it. Everybody will love it.
So question about that too. How big is like the queue line area? Because of course, an hour wait time, that's a pretty stout line. So like how big of a queue line area do you have?
Not very large. I mean, when we got in it at the 20 minute mark, we had pretty much got in essentially like the last bit of queue, dedicated queue space that they had. The queue, I would say, is probably built to be about a 20 to 30 minute queue. And so you will have, I mean, we saw it throughout the duration of our cruise, where you'll have people lined, you know, past that, down the staircase leading up to that area, and up on the pool deck itself. So it can definitely get crowded. It can definitely, it's a tight space where they, you know, had where they had to situate this. So yeah, try to take advantage of the shorter wait times. And like I said, early.
Can you buy a lightning lane for it?
Yeah, no, I'm surprised they haven't added that yet, dude. I honestly, right? You know, they thought about it. You're already using your Magic Band Plus or Disney Band Plus on the thing, right? On the cruise. So don't tempt them with a good time of making some extra money. So yeah, early morning of Nassau Day or day at sea, something like that would be a perfect opportunity, I think, to get a shorter wait time for the Aquamouse.
Notated.
So your cruise happened during the Bahamian travel advisory. So did you notice any impact from your side or from people getting on and off the ship?
I can't say we did on the ship. There were no announcements or warnings or anything like that in any type of publication on board the ship, anything like that in the port. Obviously, again, we didn't go off the ship. We didn't go step foot onto the port, but visually from the ship, I couldn't see anything. We did receive one message leading up to our cruise, about a month or so before the cruise, just stating the fact that it's like, hey, there was some travel advisories happening due to some incidents, you know, that happened, you know, last year. And so that, you know, basically to take some precautionary measure. But, you know, they do have, Disney is very forward about recommending their, you know, their direct port adventures, right? It's versus third party things. So, and I think they try to push that in a way so that it's like, hey, we're going to keep your safety at you know, at first interest. Right. And then, so it wasn't a pushed agenda or anything, Justin. But it was something that we were made aware of leading up to the cruise.
And on speaking on what you're just talking about there, Jordan and I used to work in the travel industry.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just want to push that out there as well. If you are able to book directly with whatever cruise line or whatever travel airline you're using,
mm-hmm.
that's the best recommended action. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have the most direct communication and resolution for any conflicts, versus going through third parties and having to go through a bunch of hoops. And
yeah,
just don't do that to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just learn from mistakes and learn from our expertise. Yeah. From what we've done.
Yeah. If you're going to work with a travel agent, make sure that they're working directly with DCL, right? Not through some other third party and kind of being a middleman for you that way. Yeah. Oh, we've learned our lessons the hard way from a lot of people in our experience in the past. So yeah. The day from there really proceeded to just be a relaxation time. We just decided to enjoy some time by the pool, but in the adults area, which again, loungers and things like that galore around this place. If you can't find a spot to relax and take in, you know, sunbathe or what have you, it's you're just you're not looking in the right place because they are abundant. It's just, I was very impressed. I was very impressed with the quality, right? It wasn't just these like, you know, basic lounge chairs or something like that. Like these just super nice quality outdoor, you know, loungers and things. And they got these big oversized ones that could fit a few people on them and things with like built-in tables, like super, super nice, just really nice. I will say one thing we noticed aboard the ship, it's in the adults area. There is only one hot tub on this ship, one, and it probably fits a maximum of 10 people at a time. So if you do like hot tubs, and I'm referring to the public hot tubs. I'm not referring to the hot tubs that are part of the Rainforest Room that are an extension of the Census Spa. Of course, I think there's three or four there alone. I'm just talking about the one. I'm just talking about just public use only standard hot tubs. There's only one that was in the adult area. So if you are looking for a hot tub on the ship and you absolutely want to have one for use, you may want to think about that Rainforest Room, that pass, whether it's a day pass or the full, you know, full duration of the cruise pass for the Census Rainforest Room. Let's see. Where do we go after this? We toured around a little bit, just kind of got our bearings around us on the ship just to see what some of the spaces look like. We ended up going to an adult-only drawing class, which was really fun. We sat down and drew Ursula, which was a lot of fun to do. And it was done over in, they do these across the, you know, all throughout the days, in different places on the ship. This one happened to be held in Keg and Compass, which is one of the lounges slash bars on the ship. And we talked about this a little bit leading up to the cruise. This was one of the places that I wanted to go. And when I saw that the class was going to be adults only, I got really encouraged because like, oh, okay, well, the lounge will be open, right? Like it'll be, we're just going, they're having this class in there, but you could still just go and order a beer or what have you. Well, that wasn't necessarily the case. The lounge itself wasn't open, so they weren't serving anything. They were just solely doing the class in there. So that was a little bit of a bummer, but the class itself still was very fun. They have a Disney animator just on the screen, you know, by video, doing a step-by-step tutorial for your drawing. And so Ursula was a lot of fun to do. They do a lot of these, again, like I said, across the ship on different times of day and, you know, different times and different days. So if you like drawing, you can definitely do a lot of these classes. I did see a video too of someone, and I like the idea of it. If you really like drawing or just want to do it anyways, you just think it's fun. You don't have to be necessarily be good at it. But if you want to do a lot of these, especially as time goes on and you maybe do a lot of these throughout different cruises or you're over, you know, you go do the animation, you know, academy over at Animal Kingdom, or some of the drawing things that they do for Festival of the Arts at Epcot. I like the idea of like having like a sketch journal, almost like just a blank journal that you can carry around and then do all of your drawings in that. And that way you have this book as you go through time, right? You'll have this book of all these sketches that you've done over the years. And I really like that idea.
That's a solid tip.
It's a good little like memento, right? You're just building your own souvenir. So I really, really like that idea. So I think I'm going to employ that on our next cruise.
Yeah, that's a solid tip. I like that.
But after that, we decided, hey, it's about lunchtime. Let's go grab the kids out of Kids Club. We still haven't heard anything from them. So there, you know, they were having a blast. And say, hey, it's almost lunchtime. Let's go get them ready for some lunch. And then let's go get some pool time in. And let's go to the Incredicourse. This is something that we have been looking forward to a lot. And I'll dive into that in a second. So we went and picked them up from Kids Club. Let me tell you guys, picking up was just as easy as getting there. They're very secure in how you picked up, right? Who was picking them up? There's only certain people you can authorize to be able to pick up your child, right? And you have to scan in. The children have to scan out. Very, very secure. Everyone has to wash their hands in and out. Really just, again, a great process for feeling safe, right? Which is absolutely priority number one, is you want to feel safe about your kids, right? Or you want to feel good about your kids' safety, right? So we went and picked them up, went up to Mickey's Festival of Foods again and Marceline Market to have some lunch. Spread is great. You'll see a little bit of that in the YouTube videos that will be posted soon. So again, at Off the Monorails on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed. We've got some content there now. There'll be a lot more based around the cruise coming very soon. So stay tuned there. Make sure you have the notification bell selected so you'll get alerted about that. But again, a great selection of just everything you could want for a great lunch. And then went swimming. We did the little Toy Story splash zone area. This would be a great place for Avery, Ryan, where it's just this dedicated space for smaller kids that can go through this Toy Story themed area. And it's, it's got Buzz and Woody and Zurg, and just, they got these little like water slides and water sprayers and all this sort of thing. Really, really cute space. And they've got a bunch of these other little pools. So unlike the other Disney ships and like a lot of other cruise ships in general, the Wish has these smaller pools that they place throughout the entirety of the pool decks, right? And so instead of fitting 100 or so people in a pool, you're fitting maybe 30, 40, 50 people in a pool. And so we found a few different pools in this area. They have some for different age groups, if you would, right? Like they have some where you're just literally splashing, right? It's basically to your ankles if you're an adult. And then like maybe the next level is like to your knees. And then maybe the next one's like to your chest, that sort of thing. So they have these different, these different size pools and different depths and things like that. And really it's just about relaxing, chilling, cooling off, and enjoying some time, right? That's what they're meant for. You're not going to be going doing Olympic laps in these things, okay? So that's not what they're made for. They're made to be relaxed and cool off. And I'm glad we had them because it got very, very hot that day. So it was a welcome thing for sure. After pool time, straight over to the Hero Zone. The Hero Zone is a dedicated space that they use. It's a flex space. And on port days, they have mainly on Nassau Day for this three-night itinerary, they have what they call the Incredicourse. And it's this giant inflatable obstacle course that you can race through. There is a height requirement for it. I believe it's 40 or 42 inches, something like that. So keep that in mind for your little ones if they want to join. But it's very safe, very fun. They've got a nice loft space upstairs above it that you can kind of watch it. It's a very good vantage point. And just you can watch them racing through there. And they've got different, they have like ping pong tables there. They've got foosball. They've got shuffleboard up there. They've got a lot of other games and activities you can take part in alongside the Incredicourse. But I did not do it myself. My wife did, along with my son Gibson. They did it and had a lot of fun with the course and, very fun race. And let's just say that my wife, Melissa, did not win the race. So we'll just put it that way. So I have to make sure that's known for everybody listening. But yeah, it was a great time. After that, it was kind of a, hey, let's go wind down a little bit. Let's go take a break, AKA let's go take a nap, right? So that's what we did. We went back to the stateroom, got the kids to lay down, chill, take a nap. And this is what's great about having this veranda, right? Again, this is our first time ever having any type of balcony on any cruise ship. And we had this, deluxe ocean view family room with veranda one of the biggest rooms you can get in its category. And this was great, right? You could close that curtain off from the kids who were sleeping. We could go out with outside with some champagne, with some beer, and just go outside and enjoy a drink on the balcony while we're at port and just enjoying the weather, enjoying the time, and just relax, right? It's just, it was so nice. Like, sometimes it's so nice to not do anything, right? Like, yep. You're enjoying the most by not doing a single thing. You're just sitting there listening. And, we probably did that for an hour or so. And it was great. It was so nice. I mean, that's one thing that's great about cruises as vacation options is that it just present, you can go, right? You really can. You can go all day if you want, but it also presents plenty of opportunities to just sit there and do nothing.
Yeah. And that's kind of the same testament we share with going to the resorts in Orlando,
mm-hmm.
and that's getting your money's worth out of the room you paid for. You know, you don't have to go and hustle out the parks. Go enjoy Wilderness Lodge. Go enjoy the lobby, or go enjoy Animal Kingdom Lodge's lobby. Or hell, go enjoy the pool at Pop Century, wherever you stay.
Yeah, wherever.
But get your money's worth out of your room. And that's, again, the same type of testimony for these staterooms.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what I was telling myself throughout this trip, right? It's like, man, this is nice having this balcony, right? Like, yeah, of course I could. I've had an inside room. I've had ocean views, right? I've never had this balcony. And yeah, I could stand to save a little money, right? I'd be willing to save a little money and do an ocean view, right? Or hell, even if it came down to it, an inside room for the right purpose, right? But man, it's something a little bit different about that balcony. It's something a little bit different about having that balcony space. And Ryan, I think you have the same category on your cruise too. So I think you'll get to see exactly what that feels like.
Yeah. Yeah. I have the exact same room. So
yeah,
I look forward to doing much the same, you know, having a couple of beers out there or a glass of champagne.
Yes.
And take in the vibe.
Yeah. What's great too is I mentioned this, I don't know if I mentioned this on last episode or not, but we had adjoining rooms to my parents who were staying next door to us and my sister and her husband. But the out on the verandas, they had those dividers, right, between each stateroom. And you can ask the room attendant to basically unlock these dividers so that they basically are open to the stateroom next to you. So that allow us to, again, if I'm repeating myself, I'm sorry, but that allowed us to have this larger balcony space, right? We could walk between the two staterooms. There was still a divider a little bit, but it was basically like half of it of what it was when it's opened up. So that allows us to have even more space and just enjoy each other's company out there, right? All the adults are out there, talking and stuff while the kids are in there sleeping. It's really great. It's just another perk of that room type. So if you are booking a veranda room, and then definitely make sure you take advantage of using it. And then really we did that basically until it was time to get ready for dinner. We didn't do very much that afternoon, which was nice. Like I said, it was nice to just not do anything. We've been hustling, and it was just very nice to be able to take that extended break. So dinner this night, this was pirate night. We got to have a little bit of fun with that. They have brought back the bandanas. They didn't have them for a while. They actually didn't have them on the Wish at all until a couple weeks ago. And they do give you little pirate bandanas now again. And so you can celebrate pirate night. But dinner this night was at Arendelle. And Arendelle was a very interesting meal. It was a really good atmosphere. The atmosphere itself is, you're stepping into the castle, right? And you are going to celebrate Kristoff and Anna's engagement. And so it's this festive party atmosphere. There's the dining room is gigantic. It is, there's a center stage, and you essentially have these townspeople singing and dancing and playing instruments of songs from the films, which is really great because, you know, people all just get to sing along, get to sing off key. You get to embarrass your family, you know, that sort of thing as you sing along. And they have this show, this production of with Anna, with Elsa, with Kristoff, with Olaf, with Oaken. Oaken's kind of like the host of it all. And so it's a lot of fun. The meal itself, I'd say, was pretty good. It was probably my second favorite meal of the rotational dinner experiences. And there were some, again, just like Worlds of Marvel, there were some good things, and then there were some okay things. But again, the soup here was great. So again, it was a split pea soup here, and fantastic. I don't know what Disney Cruise Line's doing with their soups, but they should bring that more to like to the parks or something, because it's a great they've nailing it, every single one of them. The entree options were decent. There basically I had prime rib, beef tenderloin mm-hmm. for my meal, and it was, like I said, it was pretty good. It wasn't great, which is a little disappointing, but there are other things throughout the meal that are really, really good, kind of make up for that. And it's a cruise, so like we mentioned before, you can get as much as you want and of anything that you want. There was actually on the kids menu that night, there is a barbecue pizza. I'm like, man, barbecue pizza kind of sounds good. And so I just told our server, I was like, hey, I'd like to try that barbecue pizza. So he brought me the whole spread. I was like, here you go. So it was good. It was really good.
Did anybody at your table get the meatballs with the lingonberry jelly?
I don't know if anyone did or not. I was tempted.
Those
to
caught
get
my
them.
Eye.
Yeah, because, well, I was like, oh, it's like fancy IKEA. You
know, like, exactly.
I wish I would have. Even if it was just an add-on, right? Like, hey, I'll look like the fat boy, right? Or whatever, you know, like, I'll look like the guy who's ordering all the meals and all the stuff. Who cares? You're on a cruise. I wish I would have done that, because I was interested in trying. I love lingonberry. I love, you know, meatballs. I love that presentation, that combination. So I wish I would have done that. I did not, sadly. So I was disappointed, however, in the dessert. I had the apple cake, which sounds like it's going to be great. I mean, it's basically like an apple tart, and you think like sweeter, like almost like caramel flavors and things like that. And it just was like, it was very lacking altogether. It wasn't even that sweet. Just all together, I was like, man, it's going to be kind of like an apple pie tart sort of thing. Crumble.
Well, we're
bit.
Spoiled by the Kringle Bakery at Epcot, where they always knock this shit out of the park.
Yeah.
And you have an expectation already set in your mind.
Well, you know, I have this expectation because there's a lot of other good things on these cruise ships, right? And I'm like, all right, well, this has got to be great. And it just missed the mark a little bit. So that was sad, but I could have also just said, hey, I'll grab another dessert, you know, that sort of thing. But I did not. I chose not to get any other dessert. I was like, well, I'll just get an ice cream or something later if I want to. Right. So dinner ended, which we basically made our way over to quickly over to get everything kind of ready and situated for the show. That night's show, again, they do kind of a Broadway style show every night in the Walt Disney Theater, two showings that accommodate the early dinner or the late dinner. But the second night show was The Little Mermaid. And different to the first night's show, which was about 25 minutes, this was an hour long production. And so is the one on the third night. So much, much longer presentation, a little more production value behind it as well. But very entertaining, very well done how they tell this story. Think like the Finding Nemo show at Animal Kingdom.
Okay, a good one.
That's sort of presentation. That's sort of style of how they
I can get down with that. Go
behind it. The performers, again, I love how they kind of adapt to each, because the same performers, right, every night, and they're just adapting to these new roles and these new characters every night. It's really cool to kind of see them and do all these scenes, and just really fun. So again, we can't film any of that, so that's not shown in any of the YouTube video footage. We can't share any footage, but really good story, really good basically version of the Little Mermaid story. So really, really well done. Can't say enough. After the show, it was really time to get ready for the pirate party, which is up on the pool deck. This is one of the most, I think one of the things that Disney Cruise Line is most well known for, right, is this pirate party that happens and the fireworks that are part of it. It's really fun. It's basically a full pirate crew band playing 80s rock music. And it doesn't really get much better than that, honestly. So it was a lot of fun. I mean, everyone's singing along, right, and just having a good time. Jack Sparrow makes an appearance, which
is... Did they play Bon Jovi?
Yes. Yes, okay. They did. It's really great. So a lot of fun. The fireworks are fantastic. We had a great vantage point. We basically stood opposite the funnel vision, which is where they have the stage at that they perform on. But we stood up on the 12th deck. They perform on the 11th deck. We stood up on the 12th deck to have a better, you know, vantage point, and straight on, straight shot to them. So a little further back, but you see everything perfectly. And of course, it made our vantage point for the fireworks even that much better. So
that's good to know.
It was the fireworks shoot off near the side. They shoot off the the starboard side of the ship, I believe. No, port side. They shoot off the port side of the ship. So it was fun to watch these fireworks. I mean, it doesn't get much better than fireworks in the middle of the ocean. Right, like only Disney, yeah. Right? Only Disney.
You see the other boats going by and seeing fireworks shooting off, like, man, that yeah. looks like fun. Our boat sucks.
Yeah, it is. It is fun. And you say that, right? It reminded me, when we were leaving the port in Nassau, we were parked next to a couple of different ships, right? We had some Royal Caribbean ships next to us, and we had this Carnival ship on the other side.
Oh, the Sanford and Son of the Seas.
So we start pulling out, right? And Disney is also very well known for their horns, right? And all the songs that they basically make with the horns, the Disney music. So it starts doing all the songs as we're leaving port. And you just see all these people like on the Carnival ship on their balconies, like waving by to us. And then you can start to see like the disappointment on their face as the horns start playing the music. And you're just like, oh man, like how awesome is that? Right. And then like,
you
just
see flexing on them.
Yeah. This is great. This is good. So yeah. So that's a really good feeling too. Like, not to discount people selling on Carnival. I've sold on Carnival. We've sold on Carnival plenty of times. So I'm not saying anything bad about it per se. I was just saying it was just funny and a cool moment. Disney does those little things that make them stand out, like the horns, yeah. Like the fireworks. Not saying fireworks are a little, yeah, and the prices. Prices are definitely there. They're definitely a separator, right? But it was cool. It was a great way to end the evening, we get back home. We get back to the stateroom. There's Davy Jones, our towel animal. You know, like it's nice. So cool. They lean all the way into Pirate Night, and it's so much fun. I will say the four night I would think would be even more fun because, yeah, people are getting dressed up for Pirate Night a little bit. But on that 4-night itinerary, you actually have a true Pirate Night, right? You have the whole dinner menu's theme to pirate is a whole, you know, the whole dinner menu is different. I would imagine everyone, more people would be dressed up, right? Cause we were in Arendelle, right? So think about this. Like we had outfits, right? I had, obviously, I had a coordinating outfit with my wife. We just had to do that, right? When in Rome. And, you know, those outfits were built to be more catered towards Arendelle, right? And not pirates. And so I think it would allow, I think more people would be even more encouraged to dress up for with that dedicated night. And so I think that will be an advantage for you, Ryan, on a 4-night itinerary to actually have that true pirate night to really kind of lean into the theming even more.
Yeah, I've got an idea for pirate night, and I'm going to keep it a secret until I post it on Instagram when I get back.
Okay.
Okay. It's going to be good. Okay. I'm working on it right now.
Okay. I'm scared.
You better be.
Oh, gosh. But yeah, again, just a great way to wind down the evening, to kind of have that excitement of through a whole day of relaxation and doing new things. And just to cap it all off that way was awesome. And really, it's that anticipation, too, of, you know, that the next day is our last final, you know, it's our last day, last full day on the ship, right? And so you're kind of like, oh man, this is great. I can't wait. I can't, it's castaway, it's going to be castaway key day, which is, you know, and for us, this was the, that was the one thing that we were most looking forward to. And I was like, all right, this is going to be great. Like it's all led up to this, right? And so it was just a great day. And you start thinking about, okay, like, how can I make this even more, right? How can I make the most of this? And what's coming next? And so that's really where we're going to leave you now is that anticipation of Castaway Key and what that looks like. There was a lot of things that we learned about Castaway Key being first time visitors there. There's a lot of nuances to the island. There's a lot of things that I wish I would have known prior. So I will be sharing those. There's a lot of things that I think that just in general can be time savers, that can be just improve your, you know, your experience. And hell, there's probably a lot for me to still learn because I didn't even get to do some of the things that I thought I was going to do on Castaway Key. So we will talk about that next week as we continue this journey on the high seas.
That's two episodes in a row that we get to leave all you guys off on a cliffhanger. But hang in there because there's going to be a lot more coming next week when Jordan, of course, like he just said, talks about his time at Castaway Key and maybe a little something else he got into after that. But yeah, that'll be it for now. And before we go, I'd like to thank all of our great partners and affiliates. If you'd like to give them a look, we'll have links in our episode description. Be sure and check out their websites. They all have some great products, and we have some discount codes available, and those will be in the affiliate descriptions as well. And yeah, just make sure you're following along on the socials again at Off the Monorails. We're on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, you name it, X, all the good places. Stay tuned for all of our updates and episode releases. We tend to release episodes on Fridays unless there are technical issues. But yeah, Jordan, again, thank you for your time and you know, grabbing a hold of the mic and just spewing away for the last hour, because I literally have an entire page of notes already written down, and I still have another day.
Yeah,
to take notes on, because I'm going to make the most of my trip in about 2 months now.
Yeah. And that's the goal with this, right? Is at the end of the day, if one person listening to this can learn and take away something, then I think it was a success. So overall, this was a great trip, and I can't wait to talk about Castaway Key, because it was definitely the most it was definitely my
star of the show.
It's definitely my favorite part of this cruise. So can't wait to talk about it.
Also, one last thing before we go, the podcast platform that you listen on, if they allow you to rate us or give us a review, please take the time to do so. This helps us build an algorithm and reach more people. So please take the time to give us a rating or a review.
Yeah.
And we look forward to seeing those. And
yeah,
I think that'll, yeah, just
well,
do it.
If you most likely you're listening to us on,
you're already on the app.
You're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify right now. Just go ahead and click those stars. It doesn't take much. Go ahead and do it.
Do your boys.
We know you're listening. We can see what device you're listening on. Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on. Help us out.
We know.
And last but not least, don't forget to visit our website, offthemonorails.com. We got a bunch of stuff on there, merch and whatnot. Go peruse, go buy something, enjoy it. We got stuff up there.
Support the show.
Even regarding cruise line stuff. So make sure you go check all the collections out. Snag yourself something nice or someone else something nice.
Absolutely. Well, gentlemen, I think that'll do it for now. And again, we'll be back next week with hopefully the closeout, maybe. Depends on how much Jordan learned at Castaway Key. But we're going to keep this series going until we ride it out to the bitter end. But in the meantime, we'll catch you next time. Now, I'm Ryan.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Jordan.
And this is Off the Monorails.